Hi, I'm Larry Miller, but in a way, aren't we all? And this week, on This Week with Larry Miller, you've heard about the Battle of Britain, you've heard about the Battle of the Bulge, I will tell you about the Battle of the Thermostat, the worst of all. Tune in to LarryMillerPodcast.com and we'll see you here.
Hey, I'm Adam Carolla.
I'm Dr. Drew.
And we are here to ask you to do us a little favor. If you like what you hear, share it with a friend.
Nice. Keep the pirate ship afloat, right?
Yeah, well, that's the only advertising we got. But it's the best kind.
It is.
Word of mouth.
It is.
Whose mouth?
Yours. Not yours. Theirs.
Theirs.
Theirs, yes.
That's right. Thank you in advance for telling a friend, and enjoy the show.
This is Corolla Digital. Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice, but get on mandate. Get it on. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you so much for telling a friend. Thank you so much for subscribing via the PayPal button, man. $5 a month. I think that'll about cover it.
Yeah.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. That is my good friend, Dr. Drew, over there. How are you feeling, buddy?
I'm good. I got a little, some kind of weird, I'm just trying to send this Twitter feed over to my producers at HLN because I got in some kind of a weird Miley Cyrus spat. The Coos to Christmas was last a week or so ago.
Mm-hmm.
And, I came out and announced the band, and people were tweeting me, oh, she's booing you, and she's giving you raspberries and thumbs down.
I'm like, was she in the audience?
She was in the audience, yeah. And I'm thinking, I just said, that's weird. I've gone way out of my way to protect her. You know what I mean? People give her a lot of shit for her behavior. I'm like, in fact, she's just a musician. She's not a sick person. She's not Amanda Bynes. Mm-hmm. Amanda Bynes was had severe enough mental illness. She needed to be in a conservatorship and locked down for about 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
That's severe mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
This is a kid, you know, making a career, acting out, doing weird shit, and making it and clearly succeeding at it.
Mm-hmm.
I've always said that. So I thought, I wonder. I bet you it's the pot thing. I bet you that people are always hanging that no pot thing on me, even though I'm fucking not anti-pot. I am not, and I'm sick of that. My new 2014, by the way, what's the matter, Gary? My 2014 sort of campaign is stop pinning that shit on me. I'm almost in favor of legalization of all drugs. I don't give a shit. That's something that I have a problem with people that can't stop and need help. That's when I want to help. With the context for that, you know, whether we legalize, illegalize, alcohol is addictive, right? I don't think
yeah,
it should.
I mean, for some people,
yeah, of course, yes.
Gary's well, got a problem.
Yeah, of course. But mm-hmm. that doesn't mean it should be illegal. Mm-hmm. It clearly should not be illegal. Prohibition did not work. It should not be illegal.
Yes.
People want to apply that same stick to other drugs. I'm fine with that. It's not my business. That's the system we live in, and we have a free system. We make these decisions. I'm all for it. Make the decisions. Don't fucking pin that on me that because I treat addiction, I'm a bummer. Or I'm like, I'm going to bum people's high. Have I ever given you shit about Mangria?
No.
Yeah. That's a free society. That's what a free society is.
There is no time anymore for the truth.
Oh, dig.
It doesn't exist. People have an agenda. They have a point of view. They have a curriculum. And whatever it is, they just go forward with it, and they're not going to let these little spike strips in the road known as the truth affect that agenda. They just they pick an angle. They run with the angle. I'm telling you, I think about it all the time. I think
because you get pinned with a lot of shit that just –
Well, I get I get called anti-gay or gay basher. I hate gays. I mean, the Huffington Post comes out with a list of celebrities that hate the gays the most. But that's why no one listens to them, you know. I'm on the list, except for when the mayoral race comes around and there's three candidates and one of them is gay and I back Kevin James.
They don't respond to that. Doesn't mean you don't hate gays.
Well, why would I back
he backs your interests. Contest? Obviously.
He doesn't count as gay, by the way, because he's Republican. That's the other crazy, super offensive and racist thing that they do, where if you're black or you're gay and you're Republican, well, not really. You're not really black.
Right.
You don't really count as gay. Really? Who's doing the judging here? I feel like there's a fair bit of judging coming from that camp.
You and I have talked about this before.
I love that.
The left is always people are shitty, and the right is gays.
Yeah. They love to make these proclamations based on fucking what? Making a Chaz Bono joke during a live show up on stage? Fuck you. It's insanity. It's total, utter insanity. Not to mention, there's half a chapter in my book where I'm explaining that gay people need to be subsidized. They're the best citizens we have. Said it many times. It's in my fucking book. Go on Western Boulevard. Go on Western and Santa Monica Boulevard. See what a fucking hellhole that place is. See what a shitbox that is. See how much gum is on the sidewalk. See how many shopping carts are turned over and abandoned. See how much trash is on the ground. Just see how much graffiti's around. And then head south down Santa Monica Boulevard and go down about 3 miles, and you'll be in the gay part of town. And it looks
rainbows.
Like fucking rainbows and golf courses.
Yeah.
Well, what is that? A lucky street? No. It's gay folk live in that area. They have a good income. They don't have a bunch of fucking kids. It's not a bunch of deadbeat dads. Not a bunch of unwanted little fucking kids run around going to join gangs and trash places and do all that kind of stuff. And thus, the community is missing graffiti and gum on the ground and trash and all sorts of other things. It is the exact same street, and it is 2 miles south, and it's a fucking utopia. Or maybe it's 2 miles west. I can't figure out what the hell, what direction that goes. But either way, it's fucking utopia versus some of the shittiest, ugliest real estate on the planet. Why? Well, the gay guys. So do we need more of them? Yeah. Look what they did for Silver Lake. That was a shitty part of town, gang infested. And now it's fucking beautiful, and the real estate prices have gone through the roof. Gay folk. Said that a million times. But anyway.
Oh, all right. Another thing I wanted to get to last show we didn't get to, because I saw it driving in that morning, was the Highway Patrol or whoever is in charge of the freeway signs have heard you. You've spoken and they've heard. Look at that.
Yes.
We're showing a picture now.
In a minor crash, pulled to the shoulder.
That's what it says. And I drove past it. Another one in Glendale said the same damn thing. So they're all showing that. They were showing that morning.
But it could be nowhere nearly as impactful to traffic as Click It or Ticket.
But aren't you happy?
No.
Aren't you satisfied?
No.
What? What's it going to take?
Well, first off, it's going to take a fucking time machine. Because they've had the ability to type in whatever the fuck they want to type in our billion-dollar freeway sign complex that I fucking pay for years, but they let Bozeman, Montana beat them to the punch by a decade.
Gary, we got to find out who is responsible for actually typing in this stuff and get him on the program.
You can't.
Come on. Try it. See what
please.
You can do. You've tried?
Well, you remember when we used to leave Love Line and the fucking things would be blank, the signs would be blank, and then the 110 freeway would be shut off.
I still have to deal with that every fucking night.
And I fucking called somebody over there and I said, first off, I tried to get these guys. There's two guys I've tried to get on the show. The guys from the Ad Council, the guys with the PSAs.
The crappy PSAs, yeah.
Airport, airplane turbulence.
Leaving your briefcase at the airport. What was that one, the dog? Remember that one?
It's just all just a big pile of fucking nothing.
Yeah.
Just a big pile of waste of every human being's time. The least efficient, least effective. If the Ad Council people were actually working for a company, that company would have fucking folded like a burrito and declared bankruptcy 10 minutes after those fucking ham-fisted retards got a hold of their campaign. It's what happens when you say to people, you don't have to get anything done.
Right.
Like,
there's no skin in the game.
There's zero accountability.
Yeah.
You just go ahead and fucking toss out your, you know, 4th of July PSAs or your stupid airplane turbulence or, you know, don't dump your motorboat sewage into the fucking bay. Yeah. Just go ahead and waste everyone's time. No one gives a shit.
It reminds me of what it used to be like to create television. There are only three networks. When things are too easy and too unaccountable, it's all crap.
Right. So I'm happy that the town with the worst traffic on the planet eventually got hold of the cunt who works the keyboard and said, hey, could you type in...
When you call around to try to get these guys, don't have them listen to this. Okay?
Move to the right instead of the fucking insanely repetitive, redundant, and completely inane click it or ticket, which doesn't... As I've broken down before, why is there no fucking logic being applied to anything?
Yes, I know.
Drew.
Yeah.
Do you know a human being that does not use their seatbelt in 2013?
I don't know how you would get how you drive with it. I guess people you described to me one time we talked about. I guess you could lock the belt behind you, which is bizarre.
Okay, so you don't know a human being.
No.
I don't know a human being. If I'm backing down my driveway and my wife is in the passenger seat and has not done her seatbelt just because we're backing down the driveway, I tell her do it because the chime is annoying me.
Not only that, we've graduated to the point now where. And the ship, by the way, when that train wreck and stuff, it made me think, why don't we have seatbelts on the trains, for Christ's sake?
About school buses.
School buses and as I said, the Acoustic Christmas week or so ago, we had shuttles moving us around. My wife's like, put your seatbelt on. She goes, hey, Princess Di, put your seatbelt on. And we were in a bus with 20 people. I was like, all right.
All right. The point is this. The people that this would get, Drew is a man of science. When you come out with a, hey, African nation, put a condom on campaign, try to stem the tide of AIDS, you have a problem.
Yeah.
And a group.
Yeah.
And you go, well, this thing is at epidemic levels.
We got to do something.
Here's a group of the guys who do wear the condoms, but here's a whole larger group that doesn't wear the condoms. So when it comes to the click it or ticket campaign, break it down scientifically. Who do you know who doesn't wear a seatbelt?
Nobody.
What percentage?
No.
I don't know a human being.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a huge problem, though.
Okay, but hold on. We don't know a human being who doesn't wear a seatbelt.
Yeah.
Okay. But still, we're able to say, since every car in the last 30 years has had the chime and the placard in it, there's no need. But okay, there's a percentage of people that don't wear their seatbelt. We're willing to agree with that. As men of science, we're now moving on to our next problem.
Hopefully.
No human being that you and I know, interact with, or even casually come across do not wear their seatbelt. No. But we're willing to say, as men of science,
that a certain percentage will not.
A very low, minuscule, certain percentage will not. Then the next question. Is this sign asking those people who are already ignoring the chime inside their car or already...
Is this likely to have an effect on them? That percentage that is recalcitrant. Oh, I'll see the freeway sign. Oh, now I'll do it.
Right. It's about is Nancy Reagan could tell Jan Michael Vincent, just say no.
Right.
I don't think just say no is going to stop a hardcore junkie.
No.
Okay. So you have the group that already participates in the activity that you'd like them to participate in. And then you have the minuscule group that's so recalcitrant, as you say, will not engage on it if you put a sheriff in their car.
Right.
So who's who are we left with?
We better spend more money. keep after those people.
We're left with nobody. We're left with zero. Zero people.
Hey.
And I don't know if I had any effect on this. I refuse to believe that I did.
I think you probably did.
I did yell at Gavin Newsom, and I did
I think this show, the when you talk about this show gets out there, and people are... In spite of your belief that they're not reasonable, I think they are reasonable when you get them, when you shake them.
Mayor Garcetti, I did a benefit for the North Hollywood Police Division a few weeks back. I believe I was telling you about this.
Mm-hmm.
Was I telling you about this?
No. Go ahead.
I had this uncomfortable situation where I backed the Republican mayor here, Kevin James, mostly based on somebody sent me a Somebody sent me a thing that was called like re-up or something like that. It's a report where if you're police chief or in the police force and you have X amount of years in, you can essentially retire on a Friday, get your full retirement severance or whatever, like in a lump, like $500,000 or right. something like that, and then be rehired on Monday and go back to work.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's called ripping off the citizens that pay you. It's a fucking huge scam. And we still do it in this city. And because Garcetti and the other Democrat were in the back pocket of the unions, they weren't going to back off this thing. Kevin right. James said, this is unacceptable. Right. We're ripping off taxpayers.
Right.
No more.
Okay. Did you bring this up at the Garcetti event?
Yeah, it's called the DROP program.
Yes, I have heard about this.
And they did all, you know, stupid or liar people do, which is, well, there's been many studies that have suggested there's been no studies. And other cities had it and dropped it, ironically, because it was costing them too much money. And they do a lot of they do that same stuff that Maxine Waters did with me on Bill Maher's show and stuff, like, oh, well, the data is not in, or we've looked into it, or there's been studies, there's not been studies. You promised to do studies. You're not doing studies. You're being controlled by the unions, which is fine for you. It's just bad for us.
Yeah.
Because we have to pay the unions.
Yeah.
That's what's bankrupted Detroit and many, many other cities. So that's part of the bigger problem we're facing in this nation. So I did not want that guy. I wanted the one guy.
So did this come up at the event?
No, it did not. But
still uncomfortable.
What did come up was the fact that Jimmy asked me to send a check to his campaign or something. It was one of those email things where I just went, oh, yeah, put me down for 500 or something. And then he sent it back. Garcetti did. He didn't want the guy who wasn't backing him. I mean, to be fair to him, I sent his campaign a check sort of by mistake.
Oh.
And then he sort of sent it back after I said, let's get this guy out of here.
Oh.
I don't need him in here. And I want Kevin James in here.
Wait, I'm confused. So you did the event?
That had nothing to do with the event. This is months earlier.
Okay, got it.
All right. So anyway, Garcetti's a good guy. I like him. You know, it's just he's, you know, he's got to support the unions. You know, these guys are heroes. The guys who quit on a Friday, take hundreds of thousands of dollars, and then get hired again on a Monday. It's very important. Anyway, I then was at the event with him. And again, nice guy. They're politicians. They have to do what they have to do.
Yeah.
And I told him flat out, what the fuck? You know, every politician I can grab, why don't we have this?
The freeway signs.
Yeah. I don't get it. What are we so stupid for? We have a huge problem.
Yeah.
It's massive. And he said, I'll look into it or I'll get on
you
it
did,
or something.
Maybe. That'd be nice if it was him.
Maybe. And then I talked to the...
He does seem very, like, on it.
Yes.
Yeah, he seems like an on it guy.
Oh, listen.
Yeah.
Villaraigosa was a fucking retarded person. I mean, he's intellectually
developmentally delayed.
When he spoke, he was confusing. He had difficulty processing information. By the way, as somebody sent me a article or something that said first Hispanic president of the United States, how about we just get somebody with, you know, into a triple digit IQ before we start talking about. And by the way,
well, what's his name? Help me, Gary
Cruz.
Cruz, yeah, he's a very smart guy.
Fine, but he doesn't count because he's Republican, so he wouldn't be the first Hispanic.
Right.
He's not a true, just like we spoke earlier. You're not really black. You're not really gay. See what I'm saying? You're not really Hispanic if you believe in smaller government and take.
You know, there's a really interesting subtext in the Obamacare thing that people missed last week, which is Obama came out and said, well, you know, this is all about the way shit is done in government. In government, you can't imagine how things get. It's like, really? I mean, government's bloated and inefficient? Is that what you're saying?
I know.
It was really interesting.
Yeah, he said, you got to understand why this takes so long.
These are
huge companies. I mean, these are huge bureaucracies and they're bloated.
And they don't work.
And it's like, yeah, interesting.
Wait, so government is bloated and inefficient, it doesn't work. Oh, really? Well, then let's give them more. Let's give them more of our life.
Oh, Drew, you're a heretic. You don't understand.
I thought it was so interesting to me. That was real. And it was a subtext that got missed by a lot of people.
No, I heard it picked up by a few people. But yes, look, it got missed by the supporters and by the ones who aren't supporters. It did not get missed. But either way, it was very interesting.
Here's a bureaucracy we can do without. Well, not do without, but we can supplement with efficiency through stamps.com.
Mm.
You don't have to go to the post office. Holidays are upon us. Let's use stamps.com. You don't have to go in. You don't have to wait in lines. You can weigh your own packages and your own digital scale that you will get for free in our special $110 promo offer. Use the code ADS, no risk trial, $110, which includes the digital scale, which you plug into your computer, weigh your package, print the postage on your computer, of which 55% will be free.
Woo!
$55 will be free.
$55.
So go to stamps.com before you do anything else. Click the microphone at the top of the homepage. Type in ADS. Again, you don't need to go to the post office this holiday season or ever again. 2014, let's that be the year of helping the post office by being more efficient, by using our own computers to print our specie, our stamps
species.
On our own computer. Well, it's like money. Like printing money.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no.
They give you $55.
It's alchemy, I tell you.
I tell you. That's stamps.com, promo code ADS. Go now.
So anyway, at the benefit, I told the mayor to get up there.
Seems
and
like
then the part of life that always drives me completely and utterly insane is I was leaving the place because I was up on stage saying, look, why don't we have if it steers, it clears. I don't get it. What are we doing?
I thought about that when I saw what they did right, which is like move to the side if you could drive. I don't think people yet would know what if it steers, it clears means yet.
Well, first off,
because they've been too busy with click it or ticket.
Half the people in the city came here on a fucking donkey from Tijuana, so they don't even read. I mean, half the people in this fucking town are so fucking dumb they can't.
The
people in this town don't speak English.
But you're now implying that's what an offensive thing you're doing even to me.
Mm.
You said that people that speak non-English speaking are not smart.
Okay, they're smart, but this is they're not. They're not educated. They wouldn't be here. Many of them wouldn't be here.
They could be smart, but not educated.
Okay, they can be smart, but not educated.
Right.
And this may not be their first language.
Yep.
And thus, it needs to be kind of
clearer.
Laid out. Mm-hmm. Yes. I thought steers is clear as a bridge too far for Los Angelinos.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Legitimately so.
Maybe. Yeah. That's right. And we'll weave our way into that at some point, but let's not set the bar too high.
You know what's interesting about that? Every time I call in a prescription now, there's multiple buttons for different languages. Not before you get to the doctor piece, you have to listen to Spanish, Russian, certain parts of towns, some I'm not sure what Asian dialect I'm listening to sometimes. It's really interesting.
It's always been the key to success for this country. The key to success is come here and just speak your language.
Don't learn
English.
That's
the way our grandparents did it, and that's why this country is what it is today. Just stay the course. Yes, I know. All right, but we remember years ago when they were talking about English only in schools. And
Prop 185, I still want an apology for that. When people were saying it's going to ruin kids, 6 months later they all spoke English.
Yes, it's for them. It's not because you hate kids.
Yeah,
it's because you love kids.
Yes, you have an opportunity to really, really give them what they need to succeed.
I don't understand, Drew, this thing, whether it's you need to learn to speak English in order to be successful. You need to have a parent, two parents in a household. You need to have them cooking you breakfast, making you lunch, doing your homework. When did this become equated with I don't like these people or children or what have you? A coach, a trainer, somebody who works in the fitness industry, when somebody comes in and they're overweight, doesn't go, no, don't run on the treadmill. Let somebody else do that for you, or I'll do that. No, we understand that when the person, if you watch The Biggest Loser and the skinny white guy is yelling at the husky dude, you know, one more push-up, is he doing it because he hates him? Or is he doing it because he wants to see him succeed? When did that become that guy hates this guy? No, that's that guy is being tough with that person, but it's because he wants that person to be healthy and to succeed.
Yeah.
When did that turn into, you hate
everyone
else?
Now where everything is being evaluated by, are the patients happy with what you did for them? In other words, you got to give the patients what they want, not what they need. Because a lot of my patients for a long time are not happy with me until they realize they're doing the hard work
of
trying to get them into something that they need, and then they're happy later. But when they're in it, they're not happy.
Well, anyway, the point is this. Spoke to the – when I was done with my little speech in front of the mayor, I walked down, and my least favorite part of life happened, which is the head of the highway patrol came up to me in a sort of semi-corrective tone, and he said, you know that if it steers, it clears, pull over to the shoulder. You know that law. It's on the books. Yeah. It's been on the books. And I said, yeah,
that's
I know that. You guys have done a horrible – so is – no drinking and driving, and so is click it or ticket. That's a law that, yes, they're on the books. No one's aware of it because you guys have not launched or promoted any kind of campaign to make people aware of it.
What do you say to that?
They never say anything after that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Take calls.
All right. Let's see. Someone's coming from New Orleans.
Let's get line five. It's an interesting one.
All right. Line five. Frankie, 30, Minnesota.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Hey, Frankie.
Huge fan.
Thank you.
Hey, so I am due to have surgery at the Mayo Clinic in like 24 hours. It's for a condition called pectus carinatum.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm
Let me straighten Adam out on this. It basically used to be called pigeon chest back in the day.
I got the pectus part.
Here's a picture. Here's a.
How'd you have that picture so fast?
I saw his thing up there, and I just stuck it on my phone. Gary should put one up there. That's a kind of a, you know, there's a Wikipedia.
Well, it looks better than me with a shirt off.
It does indeed, this guy particularly. But, you sort of have the pectus excavatum, which is the opposite way.
I got the barrel chest and the swivel hips.
So, you know, and Frankie, so you're going to have surgery for that?
Well, I mean, the thing is I've had it since I was a little kid. It never really bothered me. And this year I've been doing like a lot of bodybuilding and stuff like that. And it's obviously a flaw that I would like to correct, but every friend, family member I show a picture to, they don't even know that I have it. They say that they've never been able to tell.
It's not just a cosmetic thing. It can change your cardiopulmonary dynamics, and as you age, it tends to get worse. So, you know, I imagine thoracic surgeons have sort of a scale they use to decide if someone needs a surgical intervention. Have you had a consultation yet?
Yeah. The surgeon basically told me that there's no concerns. It's never going to affect my heart or lungs.
All right, so you don't have to have it, so it's going to become cosmetic.
Exactly. And they basically, he has to, you know, essentially cut off all the extra cartilage.
No,
and
it's a big surgery. It's a big surgery.
Yeah, they have to flatten the chest, break it. He said I could be in pain for 2 years.
That just hurts my teeth.
Yeah, if you don't have to have it, I it doesn't bother you cosmetically, and it's not getting worse, and you're already 30. I'm not sure I'd mess with that.
And also, I mean, I don't know who you're worried about, but women, this.
Well, I'm married too. That's the thing, and I've been. But I actually, we just tweeted you both a picture of it.
Oh. Yeah, Drew just showed it to me.
I didn't. That was somebody else. That was a.
No, it's me.
I'm gonna get it. Hold on.
I beat off to the wrong guy.
It's not up there. What did you?
It's from Ray Ray to you. Is that the name?
Do it again to at Dr. Drew.
All right. We'll try to find it. Hold on a second. We'll get back with you. Let's see if we can get a couple more in here, Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
John.
Hey, what's going on, Adam? Hi, Drew.
Hey,
28,
John.
West LA. What's going on?
Speaking of West LA.
Not much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Keep it local.
Yeah.
Hey, I had a question. My girlfriend has an intrauterine device, an IUD.
Yeah.
And I'm not too familiar with these, but as I was told, she's not supposed to, you know, get her period and this and that. Well, when we've been having intercourse, she's starting to bleed. And at first it wasn't a lot, and it's not like she's coming out. It's just, it's just all over me, I guess, you know. And now it's becoming more and more every time we have sex. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just kind of worried. And she kind of, you know, I mean, I told her to go see her gynecologist, but, you know, I'm still worried. She still hasn't made an appointment or everything because, you know, she works a lot, I guess.
All right. Well, she needs to go. She needs to go. A. B is the IUD. Don't worry about it.
It is?
Yeah.
Is that what they...
Yeah.
People still using that IUD?
Oh, it's back in big now.
Why?
It's a because they've sort of perfected it. It's no longer having all the complications it used to have. And now there's a progesterone impregnated IUD, which probably she has. Does she have the Mirena?
Uh-huh.
John?
Oh, I'm actually not sure which...
All right. Well, it probably is what it is. And that's the way the progesterone sort of destabilizes the uterine lining. And so when you stimulate and blood flow goes in there, it bleeds. And it's not at all uncommon. But, you know, the bleeding's a little heavier than it should be. And so, you know, go get it checked out. It's probably nothing. But and believe me, they check for cervical cancer before they put the damn thing in. So trust me, she's been carefully screened.
All right. Now, when that tweet comes in, we'll talk back to Frankie at a certain
I'll
point.
I'll see if it's here.
Until then... We'll hit up Ann from Austin, 53. Ann?
Hi, y'all. I hate that my age is 53. Congrats on the Steer It and Clear It beginning of the campaign that changes the world.
Well, you know, as I was yelling at Dr. Drew in the previous episode, the amount of time when I live in, you know, Drew, Glendale, La Crescenta, La Cañada area, and the idea is to get to Inglewood at 8:30 in the morning. Do you know what that commute is like?
Oof.
Inglewood's
brutal.
Little right off the airport. There's just no possible physical.
There's no. Yeah, it's screwed. You're screwed.
I don't even touch the accelerator on the car.
Yeah.
It is let the foot off
the brake.
Yeah. Coast with the idle of the car, and then apply the brake again, let my foot off, and coast and idle again. The idle moves the car at about 4 miles an hour, but still then you have to brake, and it's that way.
And it's 30 miles.
Right.
Easily.
That.
Yeah.
There it is. So that's a major problem for every single... By the way, that's a major problem for the fucking people that are paying for every motherfucking... Hold on. God damn it. The people, fucking goddamn, hold on. Guess who's in this line? Not the fucking people that are getting the free lunches and not the fucking people that are getting the free cheese. The people that are paying for everything. Everything. Those, all the freeway signs with the clicker ticket, all the fucking highway patrol guys handing out chicken shit tickets, the freeway itself, the buildings that are downtown that are in the far distance. I mean, it looks like Oz, except for I'm going much slower than the fucking Tin Man.
And you're going to go 20 miles past it.
Yes, that's what it is. All the infrastructure, everything. Guess who's paying for it? Me and my fellow miserable comrades.
Oh, but now.
Comrades who are in line.
You can
line.
Pay a lecture and go on that fast lane on the 110. Head over to the 105.
Fuck you guys. How dare you?
At least it's an option.
The point is this. The people that are paying for everything are being punished by your wild inefficiencies. And I know you're in the business of collecting our money and then redistributing it to people with all these other. How about just a little love back this way so we can get the fuck to work so we can pay some more taxes? Would that be nice, Drew?
It'd be nice.
Okay. Sorry, Ann.
Yes, Ann.
I think you need an invisible enforcer and gatekeeper. You know, when Hef goes out to a restaurant, he doesn't expect them to have his pork chops. His forward guy brings the pork chop, says, here's how you cook them. So if somebody's checking for coffee, the coffee's not there. I've got the coffee in the mugs, but Mr. Carolla, not Adam, Mr. Carolla won't be at this venue again.
So Ann, you're blaming Gary. You're putting it squarely on Adam's employees here.
I'm saying Gary needs an assistant, perhaps, but an enforcer, an invisible enforcer.
But here's the deal. So Adam's got
like farting?
Adam's got a pardon?
No, look, what the problem is Gary tells me I made it crystal. I have the same conversation with my wife all the time, or she'll go like, I couldn't have been more clear with so-and-so.
Yeah.
The gardener, the pool man, like the. I couldn't have been clear. And my answer.
The wealthy white guy employee.
Is always this. No. Gary makes things crystal clear with people. But I tell people, and I tell Matt the Porcelain Punisher this, and I tell my wife this. Here's the problem. They're dumb, and you're not. And when you tell dumb people, when you're crystal clear with dumb people, it's pretty murky. It's not always crystal clear.
You think
clear.
It's dumb, so, or just a no meaning, no consequence for them? You know,
it's a combination of I'm dumb meets it's the intersection of stupid meets who gives a shit. Yeah. I say all the time.
What's in it for me?
That is the worst intersection on the planet. So when my wife or Matt or Gary goes, hey, I told the guy. It's like, I know you told the guy. The guy's stupid and he doesn't give a shit. So we have to figure out a way.
Yeah.
You know, my wife, you know, this happens all the time. They do the, I called the guy, he never called me back. It's like, yeah, I know. He's lazy and dumb.
Yeah.
You're going to have to, you're the smart one. It's unfortunate that you have to put in all these sort of fail-safe measures for exotic requests like coffee and things like that, but yeah. You have to.
Well, and you're saying rather than lay it on your employees, lay it back on the people that aren't doing it and just don't do the event.
Well, it's going to take a...
I've seen you do it before. That's what it's always taken. You actually have to take it to that point.
Right.
And it's like a public beheading.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's like literally that you people go, you know, if you do that, there's going to be consequence until they see the consequence.
That's how you know what people are capable of. Because the second, as we talked about in the last show, when I wanted a security guard at Loveline, and I don't think they... I don't know what. He didn't show up on my night.
You didn't show up, yeah.
I didn't show up.
Yeah.
I mean, I showed up. I drove to work, and then I saw no security guard, and I had to turn around and left.
Yeah.
And then we got the security guard.
Magic.
So can you do it?
Yeah.
Of course you can do it.
All right. What's Ann want to talk about?
All right. Ann, yes.
My question was, what is a healthy developmental stage or a healthy time for a mom to go back to work? I have one child. He's 10. I had a full career before I got married late, had a child late. I have the luxury of spending my time with my child, but I need that stimulation again.
So
of work.
Yeah, I mean, you certainly, and people argue about this, Anna. Obviously, it's a point of contention, but I would think most people would say certainly late childhood, you've done your due. You know, you've done a great job.
Yeah, once they're going back and forth to school all day.
Yeah, and as they hit adolescence, their preoccupations with their peers, not their family of origin.
When I got home, I would pray my mom was not in the house.
and you could argue that
she
the
always
mom, you
was.
Know,
it was
somebody
wildly disappointing.
Somebody being a presence that the child knows always going to be around, always on them, is a good idea. But you know, you can make that happen a lot of different ways. So it also is a lot of data talking about women and their happiness and their fulfillment and stuff and how important
what
that is.
What do you do, Ann?
I was a corporate salesperson, marketing in the financial world, and I'm just revved up and I see all the tech and the university in this town and I crave being in that environment. And I guess it might be time to let the one child fly free.
Not fly free. You know, stay on them. Adolescence is a rocky time, but go ahead and have some balance here. Not you can do other stuff and be a mom. It's possible, quite possible. There's a great book out there. Oh, Gary, I'm going to make you read me the book. Deborah Spar. It's called Women, Power.
It's called Wonder Woman. I'll get you this.
Wonder Woman, Power, Money, and Perfection, something like that.
Thank you.
Deborah Spar is the president of Barnard College. At Podcast One, I've got a little podcast where I talk to her. You can look it up. Gary will put it up somewhere.
It's All About Women page on podcastone.com, and the book is called Wonder Women, Sex, Power, and the Quest for Perfection by Dr. Deborah Spar.
You can click through the Amazon link at adamanddrdrewshow.com if you'd like to
or
I always win
do.
In the sale. Thank
or
you
can
so
do
much,
the,
Ann.
The PayPal.
Love
Ann
you
seems
both.
Like a PayPal
Thank
person.
You.
Yeah, feel free to go out and make yourself happy and make some money, by the way. And that's right. You can subscribe via the PayPal. Thank you very much. All right. Now, Drew, Frankie, you showed me the picture of Frankie.
Here's Frankie. And Gary, I emailed you the picture. We can put it up on the website. Maybe I'll put it up on the computer. Here's Frankie. You can't see it.
Looks fine to me.
Yeah. So let's go back to Frankie.
All right.
He's got the Brovember stuff going on, though. Look. There it is.
I don't see what the issue is. I mean, it's...
Yeah, you can't really see it. I see it as a trained eye, but
yeah.
It's nothing.
Frankie?
Yeah.
You're fine.
Don't do it.
You don't think it's worth it?
No. Oh, God. No. It's a huge... No. Listen, just having been through a big operation myself, I'll tell you what. That's not something that I recommend.
All right.
Surgery is not fun. It fucks you up.
I'll tell you what I would recommend. Encore, baby.
That, way over a surgery.
Encore Insurance Services, LLC. I actually got to hang out with these guys in Sacramento a little bit. Good people, good company. You got loved ones. They depend on you. Drew, think about you, man. Yeah. What if that surgery didn't go right?
Yeah.
Oh, man, you need insurance, man. Well, you're out of the woods, but the point is this.
Still got to pee a little frequently. In fact, right now.
You got insurance? Go ahead. 866-347-5748 for a free life insurance quote. You call them today. Or you go to smartterm.com. That's their website. Again, it's part of being responsible. It's part about being an adult in 2013. You need life insurance. Maybe you have some. Maybe you'd like to supplement it a little bit. Good people, good sponsors. They compare the premiums of highly rated insurers, and they help you save. Encore can help you. Give them a call. 866-347-5748. Tell me you heard it here, man. All right, Drew.
Let's keep going. Let's talk to Ryan.
Jump up there and talk to Ryan. Ryan.
Hey, got it on.
23, got Pasadena.
To. Did you open with that
That's
today?
That's right.
I can't remember.
Did you open with? Yeah, okay. All right.
I just moved back to the L.A. area. I finished school out in New Orleans, and I really was looking to get involved into stand-up comedy, and a lot of people keep telling me that I need to look into the Groundlings, and I was wondering if you had any thoughts about that.
Groundlings isn't really a stand-up school, is it, Adam, or is it now that?
No.
Is that that was my question, is people are telling me that I should look into that to meet people and make contacts, but improv isn't something I want to do, I don't think.
Well, here's how it works. Being on stage is being on stage, performing is performing, and as many different tools as you can get in your toolbox, it'll make you that much better the carpenter. And I am not sketch and improv is not my bag. I mean, I like improv, but I
you
mean
you use it all the time. You don't sketch, but improv you use all the time.
The thank you. The doing their format of entertainment, which is sort of like Saturday Night Live, is not my forte. But, or as a great Penn Jillette would say, fort. But I do rely heavily upon the principles of that. So I always sort of break things down into like sports, like, look, you know, doing yoga and ballet and Olympic-style weightlifting is not part of playing football, but it will make you better at football. And Olympic-style weightlifting, well, that you may not be that dude. That may not be your build, and you may not be able to hoist up nearly as much as the guy who's good at it.
Yeah.
Still going to help your game.
Yeah.
When you get on the field, and same with Pilates, and
I can't
with dance,
see where
you know?
Improv is an interesting sort of a skill set because I can't see where it could be anything but useful in almost everything because it, you know, it's about communicating and about being able to communicate effectively and in an interesting way and nuanced and delivering with timing.
I feel and I say it all the time that many people are not skilled in the basic disciplines of this, which definitely apply to doing any sort of conversation, collaboration, or what have you.
Or public speaking, especially.
Yeah. But
that's just a
well,
big
especially when you're doing what we're doing now. Yeah. Yes, and not only that, but listening, so on and so forth. These are just basic, you know, this is saying, I want my kid to have a good basic grounding in math, in spelling, in reading. You know, just saying like, I want my kid to be a good reader with you know, good penmanship, good spelling, like just the basics, like the cornerstones. Yeah. Now, from that, he can go on to whatever form of higher education. But I want his comprehension level to
this
be
high.
This
should be part of that, you're saying.
Yeah, this should be the base.
You know what's interesting?
I deal with a lot of stand-ups and a lot of other personalities that don't have this in their background at all.
Oh.
And no matter how accomplished they become as stand-ups or as comedians or whatever, they're not that good at this.
Interesting. You know, I'm just thinking, it's occurring to me that it's a school skill set that for some reason is even more important in modern world. I think would you not agree with me that it sort of has replaced what used to be called rhetoric? Used to get up with a formal rhetorical structure. Now everything's very improvisational. That's what people like hearing.
Right.
So improvisational presentations. They're more something to the internet or the interactivity or something. They're more accustomed
real
to
real organic and
but
all
it's
that.
No longer rhetoric would be what the hell's that? It'd be boring is what that would be.
Right. So Groundlings, Acme Theater, other places like that. And there's a million of these places. They don't all have to be the name brand places. Just they're all the same basic format that was probably started by the Groundlings. It's a lot of, you know, it's real simple stuff, which is improv boils down to this. They turn the lights off. They say, assume a position, grab some space work, be doing some activity, and then we'll turn the lights on. And the basic rule of improv, and all you need to know about improv, and many conversations that are based on it, is when the lights go on, and there's a guy down on one knee, and he says, "Oh, good, are you back with that firewood? It's getting cold out here, and we got to get this fire going." And you go, "Fire? You're changing a flat tire, and I brought you a lug wrench." Well, that's wrong.
Gary liked that one, though.
What happens if you're at the Groundlings is a heavy-set Jewish broad will yell, "Stop it! Stop! Start again! He's starting a fire!
And go!"
Go. And then you stand there with your hands on your hips, and you go, "How's that fire going?" And she'll yell, "Stop it! That was a question. Don't ask questions.
Add.
And then you'll go, "Oh, okay. Do it again." And then they'll go, lights up, and the person will go, "Man, I wonder where we are." And someone will go, "Stop. You know where you are." And then they'll shut the lights off again. They'll start again, and they'll go, "Well, we better get going with that fire. What do you have? What have you got? You have firewood in your hands. Have something. Bring something to the party." And then it'll get to the point where lights come up. And even if you've decided well in advance, the guy's changing the tire, you're on your way to Vegas, you're going to your tent, your high school 10-year reunion, you both had a crush on the same, you could work all this out. The second the guy says, "You got that firewood?" You're done.
Yeah, you
you're
start
done with your reunion.
You quit.
You're done with the flat tire. You're done on the way to Vegas.
Is it better to start with a less developed plan?
Well,
or do you need that? Do you need that in case you're the one that starts it?
Is when the lights go down,
yeah,
and then they come up, somebody inevitably is going to be reaching for something up high, like on the fourth wall,
yeah,
and somebody's going to be down on a knee doing something that you're going to try to interpret. It's going to be hard to interpret. And then it's a matter of who speaks first.
Yeah.
And that's it. So if you got something in your head, get it out.
Yeah.
If the other guy gets it out first,
react.
Shut the fuck up and react to what he just said. And don't be so married to your shit. That's about it. Yes, and not only that, but don't deny.
If I've never thanked you,
deny.
You've hammered that
don't
shit into me.
Deny.
Hammered into me, and I appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're welcome. So. Yeah, there's don't deny. We see it all the time.
Oh, I used to listen. I'm used to, I come to the world of controversy and opinion, and so we used to for years. I would go, "Adam, no," and you just go, "Don't do that." No matter what, they find a way not to say no. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, what happens if you go through these schools is you see them breaking people, and the person, you know, they turn the lights on, and the person's doing their space work, and they go, you know, they'll do two things. They'll go, "Hey, wait a minute, didn't we go to high school together?" Then someone will yell out, "Don't ask a question. Tell him you did go to high school with him." And then they'll go, "Hey, we went to high school together." Then the other person will go, "Actually, I'm from North Carolina. I've never seen..." Stop. You know him. You did go to the same high school together. Don't deny. Go.
And I imagine you get good at setting other people up, like walking up and going, "Gosh, can you believe how Susie looks after all these years? Shows up at a reunion looking like that."
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean,
no, you go, "Yeah, man. I was her first." Then hopefully the guy will go, "Wait a minute.
Yeah, hold on.
I was with Susie."
When was that exactly?
She said, I was in my sophomore year.
We graduated the same year. It was a great reunion here.
Look at Drew doing improv. Not going, "I don't know Susie. I've never heard of you. I didn't go to that high school, and or what you were talking.
Right.
Forces you to fucking listen. All right. Thank you guys so much. Us doing a live, not us, me doing our live podcast, San Diego, American Comedy Club, coming up this Wednesday, December 18th, 9 p.m. I believe the early show is sold out, but the late show, there's tickets available for that. Also, Gaslamp Music Club, Saturday, January 11th. Come out, say hi there. That's in Long Beach. And Mangria on tap every day of the week. Hooters, Santa Monica. Exclusive, baby. So, until next time, Sam Kroll for Dr. Drew, Chris Max Pata, Gary Haftard, saying mahalo.
This is Corolla Digital.